Blog Talk Radio.
Shall be no more. You have the man that takes you inside what goes on in the world of sports. He's in the dugout. He's in the clubhouse. He's right by the water cooler. He is everywhere you need him to be to let you know what's going on. And also, you listen to the movers and shakers in the world of sports. You are found the right place with the legendary Doc Stanley on Sports Index.
And if I may say that the Sports In-Depth Nation is here. The Sports In-Depth panel is here. I'm Mel Smith Jr. I am here. We're here courtesy of the Trust in God Radio Network. And the straw that serves the drink is indeed here, and that's the incomparable Doc Stanley. Take it away, good doctor.
Going back to back on you, baby. Going back to back from Brazil. Now, why should we do that? One of our biggest shows ever. In fact, our biggest show from Brazil. And one of our biggest shows ever was a show with me and Rooney. I'm from São Paulo. I'm always touched, taken back. Emphasizing, recognizing how humbly blessed I am, right here in the legendary Latin, the greatest American sportscast in the history of America, in the city of Portland. Yeah, well, I command his point. Almost back to back show here today. GW is going to join us. Again, one time from Caxias.
the greatest piece of music instrumentally ever done by one of the greatest R&B groups of all time, Earth, Wind & Fire. I just always feel the sort of Afro as the opening music here in Kashia, Summer Madness, where, riding on the motorcycle last night, man, I was chilly. But off that motorcycle, man, it's high 90s, mid-80s, but not too much humidity. Porto Alegre is just perfecto, as they would say in Portuguese. Sun comes up at a quarter to, goes down at a quarter to, 6 every day, 85 to 90, no humidity, beaches everywhere. Let's see. Temperature-wise, now I always laugh how I can be there when it's freezing back in New York with Harold Weston, and G.W. Mike will be joining us. And just talking about sports, a little good house and GW's pick on that Conan and Mayweather situation. And talk about a couple of things I didn't hit yesterday. And that's basically about it. But in doing so, we always end up with prayer. So let's get there. Let's get there for our opening prayer that we always have here on Sports in Depth. And we'll always open the prayer with John Coltrane. You know, Coltrane was discovered by Miles Davis. I like the thing about Sports Depth that we hit so many other areas. Like music background, sounds of Caxias. You know, I was out last night tasking my lady here and went to a spot that they had. You know, these people, you know, I always say that the poor or the rich and see themselves as neither. And I was at this spot last night, and it was just, you know, remarkable, man. And these people, you know, they you know, people in America are so busy that they don't live. And they live to work. You know, they do the 9 to 5. And if I can work Saturday, I'll do the overtime. If I can get another little gig on the side, I can work. You know, there's been no regard for Sunday anymore. You know, on the sixth day, on the seventh day, God rested. On the seventh day, God rested, okay? Everything should be closed on Sunday. And now, you know, people, the minute amount of vacation Americans get, they're still working, willing to work a week of vacation. You know, don't take no sick days so you can get paid for that. You know, don't take the special day. It's ridiculous. And here, I mean, they're there last night, man. They're partying. I mean, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. You know what I mean? It's a little spot. They had the music, man. You know, the beer is like 9 reais, which comes to about, what, maybe $3? How money? Large bottle of beer, $3, $3.4, yeah, about $3, you know. Just you know, living. It's just, when you come here, you see how, especially from America, how the rest of the world lives. You know what I mean? We are the standard by which they so often gauge themselves, but they never lose sight of their culture and the concept of living and God, you know? Catholic churches. It's amazing. John Coltrane leads us in prayer. And dear Lord, I thank you for another day. More importantly, have your will, have your will. Thank you, Lord, for the last night laying down, this morning getting up. My love, Lord, this day, wake up. Thank you. Tribute to Brazil. I brought GW Mike. Sozinho, ah,
porque tudo é tão triste. A beleza que existe, a beleza que não é só minha, que também passa sozinha. Ah, se ela soubesse que quando ela passa, o mundo sorrindo se enche de graça e fica mais lindo por causa do amor.
I'm waiting for my... to play some Brazilian artists. But what I'm going to do, as we're waiting for my guests to join, I'm going to play In Longevity, two of the songs that are part of our opening and closing Fred Hammond, Call Me Righteous. Let's listen to it in its entirety. And wait for the kids to join us.
My name is not the same. You can call me
Jesus, Lord.
Let it come, man.
That's one of our songs that we play here, and you can hear, you finally heard it entirely, and we're going to do the same thing. That's one of my nieces screaming in the background here, and then I'm going to play, yeah, that's live children from Brazil, and I'm going to play for you, my closing. And you know, it's amazing. Yesterday was like the first. You know, sometimes you hear records, and years later you hear them, and you really digest them. And I really digested this song yesterday. The first time I heard it was in the car with my brother and sister-in-law, and Eric Benet. And I heard, you know, with his breakup with... Ali Berry, and he took some weight. He said some things to make himself look bad. He didn't say things to make her look bad, and he showed a lot of class. And, all right, Benet, I'll close your song. Funny. Who's joining me now?
This is Lamar Clark.
The legendary, I know it, baby. Round, the founder of Round One, exquisite writer from Ring Magazine, one of the true intellects inside and outside the world of sports in the world. Lamar, just an honor to have you here. I know you're running. Just want to grab you here. Thank you for joining us here live. From New York and Brazil. Lamar, just some thoughts, man. You know, going back at Mayweather-McGregor, it was a big event. Your thoughts on that? You know, some of the questions that I posed to the intellects like you in the game, is there a stain on the 15-0 because it wasn't against another professional fighter, in your opinion?
Well, first of all, let me say thanks, Doc, for that introduction. And always great talking with you, man. I was actually entertained by the actual event. I know it wasn't much of a competitive fight, but it was interesting to see Floyd fight the way he did at the age of 40. It was something we hadn't seen. It was also interesting to see McGregor's approach to the entire event. You know, he came prepared. I don't know how you prepare yourself for the best fight in the world, but given those scenarios, I was entertained by the bout. As far as this being Floyd's 50th win, and you know it being credited as an official bout, this possibly an asterisk beside that, but I'm gonna give it to him because the outcome was two guys got in the ring. Two guys got in the ring, one got lumped up, one took a victory. So I'll appreciate number 50.
You know, I think when somebody, and I understand the introduction was definitely a little shortchanged because it's only with the truth and just partially. When somebody of your credibility, you and Sleepy Jesus say it's the yay, I think that there's no more need to be said. You know, I mean, I don't need Max Cullerman. You know, I don't need Jim Lampley. I don't need Larry Merchant. When some guys are just your credibility, the longevity. If you say it's 5-0, Lamar, at this point, I have no problem with it. You know, you say it. Philip DeJesus says it. That's it, man. You know, and as the great man Boykin says. You know, they ain't but a few good men, and you guys are part of it. And if you said it's 5-0, and you said some things that were so apropos that people forget. You know, he's 40. He was 40, hasn't fought in a while. didn't box for a month because of the bad hands. You know, the Jewish servant told me one time, I'll never forget, my beloved Jewish servant, a guy named Rich Laurel at the NAIA League, and Jewish was coaching the game, and Rich Laurel was leading the league in scoring at 30 points a game. And I said, well, Jewish, it's not the NBA, it's the NAACA. Jewish said, hey, 30 points a game is 30 points a game any place. A W inside the ring is what you're saying, Lamar, is a W inside the ring. And I like what you said, too, and we give a lot of credit to the preparation of O'Connor. You know, guy had never fought professionally, and all in terms of price, he took this seriously, and he was ready. He was ready, Lamar.
Right, right. And when I put an asterisk beside the 50-0, only because, I mean, we are talking about someone who's pretty much ranked as one of the best fighters of our generation, of our era. And he got into the ring with someone who hadn't had a professional fight at all. I mean, it's easy to look at that and say, you know, this is a lopsided win and it shouldn't be counted. But ultimately, like I said, it's a boxing match, it's sanctioned, and someone gets hit. Floyd took some hits. You know, they might not have been powerful, they might not have been, but they were professional hits. So for that, again, I'll give him the 50.
Well, I mean,
I'll give him the 50.
The point you
I respect the two of these guys.
But listen, the point you bring up, Doc Stanley, live from Caxias, Brazil, talking to one of the intellects of
the and Doc, let me jump in here real quick, too. Doc, let me just add this point. Wasn't able to see, you know, the caliber of fighters that Rocky Marciano fought, but I'm pretty sure if you look at his record, I won't say that there was a pro debut in there, but let's see how lopsided his opponent's defeats were, because Floyd's been in there with the best.
Well, listen. The point you bring up brings so much validity, and like you're pulling me outside my mind, going inside my head, and I can't tell you the glee, the honor, and adulation I have for you joining me here, Lamar. Well, you know, I've always said, you know, Rocky Marciano is in your top 10 simply because 49-0, but I've always said this, you know, Marciano fought guys that were old and past their prime and had tough fights. Jersey Joe Walcott, Ezra Charles, Archie Moore. Archie Moore had him beat. Archie Moore said he had him beat, but the referee gave him a standing 8 count. So, you know, there's always been, you know, when I talk to the great, I can't think of his name, the movie star, he says, you know, as an Italian guy, he said, you know, Marciano was vastly overrated and really didn't fight anybody, quality opponents. I mean, we can name 4 quality opponents that Floyd has fought in his career that outweigh anybody that Marciano fought. When we're talking about, we're not knocking Jersey Joe and Archie, as it Joe Lewis, I mean, Joe Lewis would beat him, but the fact that he fought all these guys that when they were past their prime and they gave him a fight, you know. So, I mean, you bring up a point that I've always so often brought up, and you're right. I mean, the credibility of Marciano's record is questionable, and it's just another plus factor. Like I say here on Sports and Depth, ladies and gentlemen, when you learn Sports and Depth, you come here, you hear and learn things that you don't hear anyplace else, and you heard. And from people that are just at the apex of what we can bring it. And the point is, you know, and I've had a problem too, Lamar. You know, I think there were guys, Lamar, that were great champions, but they were not great fighters. Bernard Hopkins fits that perfectly. Great champion,
okay.
Longevity. But, you know, I can name 5 or 6 guys that would have beat him easily. And Evander, as great as Evander is, 4-time champion, we got to look at Evander's record, too. Evander fought a lot of guys past their prime. Does he beat a young Larry Holmes? Does he beat a young George Foreman? Does he beat Tyson when they would have fought the first time they were supposed to fight? No. I mean, those are not fights that he wins. So I'd lump him somewhat as a African-American Rocky Marciano. Great champions? Yes, Marciano. Great champion, Holyfield. Great champion, Bernard Hopkins, but not a great fighter. When you talk about the best of all time, you know, I don't see them beating at their best Joe Frazier. I don't see them beating Tommy Hearns or Marcel Sedan or Sugar Ray Robinson at their best. So there are guys, Lamar, and you brought a point that lets me run. Great champions, not great fighters. I said the other day, you've had great champions who are not great fighters and great fighters who never had a chance to become a champion. Charlie Burroughs is one of those kind of guys.
Cool. Cool. Yeah, I
Yeah.
That's a good subject matter to tackle. I love to see your list.
Yeah, well, now, talking about Floyd, and we had Eddie Cotton on last night. Eddie said, you know, he was in the running for becoming the referee, but the referee they did have was a guy that had been not allowed to officiate any of Floyd's fights in the past because, you know, he's from Floyd's gym. But since this was something of a different nature, not totally in the boxing realm, he was allowed to referee the fight. He made an astronaut. I mean, I heard the judges got $20,000 apiece to do the fight. Floyd Mayweather Jr., no question, the best fighter of the generation, probably unequivocally, financially from the point of view, the greatest of all time in that frame of market. But when I look at Floyd, I just don't see him at his best beating Tommy Hearn, Sugar Ray Leonard, Ray Robinson, or Roberto Duran.
You know what? That's that's always a tough call when you compare cats from different eras. I mean, you can look at it statistically as far as like, you know, Floyd being a defensive fighter, the least amount of times that he gets hit compared to the output of some of these guys, and you can look at it on paper that way. But stylistically, I see where you're coming from. I definitely see where you're coming from. There was no one that I can safely say that stood in front of Floyd that had the length and power that a Tommy Hearns would have brought to about, you know, including Diego Corrales. So,
you know,
it's interesting when you look at it that way. You know, I like to see it put down on paper and see what it looks like.
You know, Tommy, I told Tommy too. I said, you know, Tommy, I said, you know, you shouldn't lost to nobody. I said, any fight you lost, other guy didn't win, you lost. And you look at Tommy. Tommy knocked out Roberto Duran, man. Then he was beating, you know, Harold Weston talked about Doc Fanny Sports, that Blog Talk Radio on the Trust and Guard Radio Network. The voice you hear is Sir Lamar Clark. And he said that Angelo Dundee and Ray Leonard called him. And they said, look, Harold will be joining us too. Said, look, we weren't going to fight Tommy Hearns. But, you know, they saw Harold's fight. And what Harold did, Harold had the wherewithal to understand that he got to stay away from Tommy the first 5 or 6 rounds. He said, Tommy Hearns is trying to hurt you. Everything, you know, he's like a guy at the plate. Every swing he swings, he's trying to hit a home run. And he said, and Tommy is just a monster. He said, and then what happened, he said, you know, Lamar, they started in those days having the weigh-in the night before the fight. So he said, when he got in the ring and looked across at Tommy, he said, Lamar, he said, that's not the same guy that was in the weigh-in yesterday, you know. And he said he told one of his fighters that was going to fight Tommy. He said, "I will tell you one thing: when you get in the ring with Tommy, do not look across the ring at him." And Ray Leonard talked about when he entered the ring to keep Tommy from being cognizant of how much bigger he was. He said he kept jumping up and down so Tommy wouldn't really notice how much bigger he was. But Harold said they called and they weren't going to fight Tommy. But they said they had Hal's blueprint, which was, you know, you stay away from Tommy and then you go after him. Hopefully he'll get tired, which Hagler said he also used his blueprint too. And Emmanuel Stewart told me that in that fight with Ray Leonard, the late great Emmanuel Stewart, a dear great friend, he said, you know, he had told Tommy had changed his diet. He said, Tommy, you can't change your diet. You need something. He also, Harold Weston said he thought Tommy got out there earlier and got acclimated to the high altitude. But you throw all that out the window, Tommy was winning that fight. And I think Tommy Hearns is the one guy that shouldn't have lost to nobody. And it's a good fight, him and Tommy. You know a guy too, Lamar, that never fooled his potential. And people don't understand how great he could have been. And the one guy that was competing for it, Mayweather, was Zab Judah. I mean, Zab just, like, seemed to always say, okay, this is enough, fight's over, let the other guy win. No, just never, he was never seen to see the same fight as Lamar after the Costa-Gazoo fight. You know, he got dropped, and instead of just getting up, he was never the same. But he had the potential to be on the same platform, I think, with Floyd Mayweather. So he's faster than Floyd, he's a southpaw, had that reach. He was an elite fighter, just never reached the kind of status he, I think that he should have had, Lamar.
No, I agree. I agree. Zab almost beat Floyd. You know, he almost beat Floyd in the fight that they had. Floyd turned it up. Well, turned it around, I guess, after the seventh, eighth round, if I recall. But after the melee in the ring that they had. But Zab is one of those guys who, for some odd reason, you know, all the physical talent was there, but the mental focus, he lacked the mental focus. And not outside the ring, because he trained, he was always in shape, but inside the ring, something went wrong. You know, I hate to use that word as wrong, but something didn't go right for him. A few things didn't go right for him in that ring. Maybe it's due to, you know, the frustration of not being able to, and I'm talking to specifically against Floyd. You know, the frustration of not being able to hit someone, and when you lose that mental edge, you know, other things seem to break down, and that always seemed to be Zab's fallback.
You know, you were the first guy to ever say that, because everybody always sort of had the mindset that Zab didn't come in prepared, but Zab came prepared. And Ray Leonard said that, you know, you just can't perform in that ring, you know, if you don't do so mentally. And I think maybe as we look back now, the downhill slide, because he as I said, I thought the Kaskazoo was the moon, but he did survive that. But
the Kaskazoo one is the one he was technically knocked out.
Was that?
I said he was technically knocked out in the Kaskazoo fight.
Yeah. Technically knocked out. I'm just saying he's recovered, but it seems like if we look back now, possibly the Baldemir fight was the beginning of the erosion of him, and then the complete erosion started with the loss to Mayweather.
Okay.
If you look at it, and you made me see this now, because, you know, the Kaskazoo fight, but then, you know, the Baldemir fight, and I was sitting Bert's ringside with me and Bert Sugar. That's about the eighth round. Bert said, "Doc, I gotta stop talking. No, this fight is close now." And here he got the title fight with Floyd, because if people don't give Floyd the kind of class and credibility that he has, Baldemir didn't buy all the belts, so Zab did have a belt. And Floyd fought him, and there was his opportunity to really get on the pedestal, but he didn't do it. But Baldemir, if Kaskazoo was strike one, Baldemir was strike two.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean,
and what was the result of that bout? I don't recall the Baldemir bout.
He lost the fight. No. And the only reason
was it a decision?
Decision. Because like I'm saying, I was watching the fight with Bert Sugar. And Green from the 516 took a great shot at me and Bert. And me and Bert, I know it's a foregone conclusion. He was going to beat Baldemir, and then he was going to fight. Single minutes. He was going to beat Baldemir, and then he was going to fight Floyd, and that was the whole setup. And what luckily saved him was the fact that Baldemir didn't have the money to pay the sanction fees for all the belts. So even though he lost the
fight. All right, I recall now.
Yeah, he held on to a couple of belts, and Floyd said, well, hey, man, you know what I mean? He should have won the fight anyway. So he fought him. I think that's one of the things that, as we look back now, we don't give Floyd enough credit for saying, because Floyd could have said, hey, man, you know, later forward. But he did, and he put some money in his pocket. But as I look back now, that was strike two, and Floyd was strike three. I mean, you look at the fight he had against Cotto. And then, man, to lose to Paulie Malignaggi, that's definitely saying sayonara.
Right. For the Battle of Brooklyn. But just to touch on that point about Floyd, sort of by, you know, sidestepping Baldemir to fight Zab, this also just points to Floyd's business sense and how far he goes back in terms of making all the right moves and connecting the dots to the point where he made close to, I don't know what he's going to walk away from with this McGregor fight, but, you know, the business sense that he showed back then all came together 2 weeks ago.
You know what? And we can safely say, from a financial standpoint of view, he has passed everybody else. But as we were talking last night, the guy who revolutionized
pay scale was Ali. And if Ali was around today and Floyd Mayweather was back then, we would not have known of Floyd Mayweather. But can you imagine? I asked Mark Tappet one time, you know, how much would, you know, pay-per-view-wise, you know, what kind of money would Ali make? And it was a press conference that we – say we had the press conference today, which is September. And so 2 months later at another press conference, I said, Doc, I said, Mark, you know, he said, Doc, you know, he said, I'm still thinking. He said, if Ali was around today, I'm still thinking of the kind of money he could have made.
Wow.
Yeah.
Different game. Different game.
Yeah.
Hey, Doc, I got a boogie now, but
ahead,
I appreciate you having me on, man.
Love you. I love you. Thanks a lot for being with us. Before you leave, last thoughts and words. Triple G, Canelo, some thoughts on that. And what do you want to say to the world before you leave us here?
Well, I've been thinking about that Triple G fight. You know what? I've always been the person that said, go with your gut. And my gut says Canelo, only because I think he's a great boxer. And I think Danny Jacobs laid the blueprint sort of to beat Triple G, but you can't get touched. Danny got touched. Danny fought a perfect fight, man. I saw the fight again recently, and I listened to his corner, Andre Rozier, who I thought did a tremendous job in just keeping Danny calm and keeping him on that stick, because that's what happened. Danny was able to keep Triple G on the end of that jab, and he stayed away from his power shot. I think Canelo can do that. We've seen Canelo box supremely. You know, we've seen Canelo box good enough to stay away from power. Now, I said that was my gut. Triple G's a monster. He's a monster. And I haven't seen him sort of break stride, even with the Danny fight. Even with the Danny fight, Danny is the first guy to come in there physically bigger than Triple G in terms of length and weight. I think Danny, matter of fact, he wouldn't even weigh in on the scale the following day. So
right,
we don't know what he weighed, but it was said close to 180. He was bigger and stronger than Triple G. And I say Canelo could box, he could outbox him. But can he, you know, take that power? I'm going to go with Canelo, but I'm going to keep my money in my pocket on this one.
Okay, now, real quickly, where can we find you and what do you want to promote here?
Okay, well, I'm still with Ring Magazine, so you can always see our work on ringtv.com. But as well, we have a boxing brand out now. It's called Boxing Aficionado, where we're selling caps and tees and things like that. So if you're a boxing aficionado, come check us out because I think we got something that you like. It's boxingaficionado.com. It's where you can find
it. And you're also writing for the Daily News. Do me a favor, send me an email with that in the folder yourself so we can put here. I know you got to go. Take care of the baby. It has been a pleasure and an honor. You've honored me beyond what I can comprehend. Thanks so much for what you've done for me. Join us again. Lamar, thank you. There are no words to thank you, man. Love you. Thanks so very much for taking this time to be with us, educating us, and love you, man. God bless you.
All right. Love you too, Doc. Thanks, man.
Thank you. Doc Sandy's putting the Blog Talk Radio. Lamar Clark, I mean, we've had one of the, you know, there's a great line that Joe Louis was said by Jimmy Cannon. He's a credit to his race, human race. It has been an honor and a pleasure to have Lamar join us here, talk some boxing. He's a guy from Ring Magazine. He's a guy from Round One. He's a guy from the Daily News. So all that, and I like his insight. You know what I mean? I like Canelo too. I like Canelo. And I think the loss to Mayweather, you know, there's a great line, you know, when you lose, you count it as an experience. It's been a positive experience for him. I think it's going to be one that's going to help him. You know, you go 1-for-3 against Koufax and 1-for-3 against Gibson. You know, 1-for-3 against Marichal, it helps you. So you can go, 3-for-3, 4-for-4 against the other guys. You know, when you get a hit or two off the Sievers and the Marichal, the Gibsons, the Satrapes, the Koufax, the Drysdale, the Goodens, hey, it's an experience, you know, just hitting against them. Doc Sandy Sports Network, Blog Talk Radio, and Trusted Guard Radio Network. It's time to go. Marvin Gaye has this to say before we go on our way. And here's Marvin.
I just want to ask a question. really cares? To save a world in despair? Who really cares? There'll come a time.
There'll come a time.
When the world won't be singing.
When the world won't be singing.
Flowers won't grow.
Flowers won't grow. No.
Bells won't be ringing.
No bells won't be ringing.
Who really cares?
Who really cares?
Who's willing to try?
Who is willing to try?
To save a world.
To save a world.
That's destined to
that
die.
That is destined to die.
When I look at the world.
When I look at the world.
It fills me with sorrow.
It fills me with sorrow.
Little children today.
Little children today.
Really gonna suffer tomorrow.
Really suffer tomorrow.
Oh, what a shame.
What a shame.
Such a bad way to
such
live.
Such a bad way to live.
Who is to blame?
Who is to blame?
We can't stop
when
living.
We can't stop living. Oh,
live.
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 Live for life. But let's live, everybody.
Live life. For the
children. Live life for the children. Oh, for the children.
You see, let's save the children. Let's save all the children.
Save the babies. Save the babies. And if you want to live,
if I may say that the sports in-depth nation is here. The sports in-depth panel is here. I'm Mel Smith Jr. I am here. We're here courtesy of the Trust in God Radio Network. And the straw that serves the drink is indeed here, and that's the incomparable Doc Sammy. Take it away, good doctor.
My man Rooney, good to have Lamar with us. Looking for G.W. Mike and Harold Weston to join us, but they didn't. Unbelievable. Now I'm getting a manicure pedicure. Probably on the edge. First time ever happened. I was looking for them to join us. I may try to get them. Maybe a little musical setup. I played some music for you in the past, although the longevity of both running and longevity too of Call Me Righteous, which I use as an intro for a comedy show I did back in Florida with the Latin comedian, extraordinaire Latin from Manhattan, Julio Rodriguez. I just liked the record, Fred Hammond. And you guys usually buy an album because of one record. You know, back in the days, that was somehow the case, not always the case, because you got such great albums, and Motown had such great music on some of the albums. You know, it was like they didn't know, don't put all your best on one, or it's just the way they did things. Let's do some happy birthday stuff here one more time. As we talked about it yesterday, here's some birthday greetings. Bill Roden.
What was it?
Bill Roden. Only African American columnist at the legendary All the News at the Print, New York Times. Today was Labor Day. So they said happy Labor Day. So yesterday was Kurt Brown's birthday, famed columnist from the New York Times. My golf camp went to with him, and I could put the elevator together. Second, Shamari Hart. See, that of course the things was on and off. Second, the African Sports Guy from Michigan University Radio. Seventh is Independence Day in Brazil. That of course, the team. There's just guys ever, only just guys ever won a Grammy. The eighth, every day, one time, literature. One of the only three guys that made contact with the Smithley Aristotle. And my daughter Church. I find the music. I get somebody else to jump from number two. And if not,
this is Michael Bellamy of Brooklyn Independent Media, and you're listening to Doc Stanley of Sports in Depth on Blog Talk Radio.
Keep my
voice there, and but my favorite, or the song that got me, well, a song called Power was a record on his album Last Days and Time, but this is even more so the reasons.
Where have all the flowers gone?
another positive message. Even the best days of time. I first listened to Fire song, Where Will the Flowers Come, on the album, Last Days in Time, and the Johnny Freitas, the Polo. My friend from his family from Curacao and Aruba, and he was talking about the power. And I bought the album, the Power, great instrumental, but it was that. It was Where Have All the Flowers Gone that moved me. Doc Stanley Sports Network, Blog Talk Radio, Trusted Guardian Network. Some things that talked about that trade. I was looking for the hoopster here, but man, it seems Cleveland want to fortify their team. And, you know, it was seeming at one time is that Celtics had won that game against Cleveland, and everybody's talking about, well, maybe they were better off with Isaiah Thomas. Well, they didn't win the series, and they don't have Isaiah Thomas kick around anymore. He's going to be advantageous to that Cleveland team. LeBron James just says some positive stuff about, you know, being with Kyrie for 3 years. They won the final 3 years in a row. They should have won back to back. Kyrie doesn't get hurt in that first game of that first time they play Golden State. If anybody, I said, made one more free throw in Cleveland, the game doesn't go overtime. Kyrie doesn't get hurt, and Cleveland comes back. Cleveland with a 2-0 lead. A 2-0 lead. And going up 3-0, they would have not lost. And again, Golden State did. Golden State's only smudge is winning most games ever, and they're not winning a championship. And I don't think they beat the 72-win Chicago Bulls anyway. Like I said, this wasn't a Blog Talk Radio and Trust and Government. We're going to slide here. I always like to close with a reminder that you know, we are where we are by the grace of God, and a debt paid that wasn't made, and they really wasn't obligated. But the good Lord, take a bet for Jesus Christ. Hey, no one could do it. Paid it off.
Unselfishly died on Calvary. Oh, how you gave your life for me. Bruised, scorned, crowned your head with thorns. No greater love before for me. Nailed in your hands, nailed in your feet, pierced in your side. Could barely breathe. Could have came down, yet you remain standing in awe of the price you paid. I never knew of a love so true. You gave your life, and still I heard you. Lost so many times to find you again. But I repent, forgive me for my sins. You paid it all up on the cross. You bled and died, cause I was lost. So here I am, surrendering all. For you I cry, on my knees I fall. You paid it all. Oh, oh, oh. I give up everything that's not pleasing in your sight, so I can have everlasting life. Yeah.
You paid it all up on the cross. You bled and died.
From ESPN New York 98.7 FM. You're listening to Sports in Depth with the legendary Doc Stanley. Before him there was none, after him there shall be no more. You have the man that takes you inside what goes on in the world of sports. He's in the dugout. He's in the clubhouse. He's right by the water cooler. He is everywhere you need him to be to let you know what's going on. And also, you listen to the movers and shakers in the world of sports. You are found the right place with the legendary Doc Stanley on Sports in Depth.
Deals.
To Melvin.
And if I may say that the Sports In Depth Nation is here. The Sports In Depth panel is here. I'm Mel Smith Jr. I am here. We're here courtesy of the Trust in God Radio Network. And the store that serves the drink is indeed here, and that's the incomparable Doc Stanley. Take it away, Doc.
No, it's in the freezer.
Hey.
Si, si. Tu quieres un?
No.
No? Refrigerant?
Refrigerant.
Sal.
Traz aqui refrigerant para mim.
Coca? The Coca? Jesus, que?
No.
Coca?
Eso?
Uh-huh. Okay. Oh, well, we're going to roll now. I wanted to play that in closing, giving my people their chance to get here, but they didn't. So I'll leave you with three thoughts. Life's most persistent, most urgent question is, what are you doing for others? Service to others is rent you pay for your room here on earth. And I am my brother's keeper. My brother's coming of all color. The last one, quotation from the late Nelson Mandela. The one before that, the late Roberto Clemente. Got exactly 3,000 pages of Clemente. Also had another saying, you know, anytime you have a chance to help somebody, you don't do it, you're just wasting your time here on earth. You know, Clemente, unbeknownst, got the name, the great one, because of his great presence and dominance in the civil rights movement in Pittsburgh. He was a friend of both Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. and Malcolm X. The quotation before that, service to others is rent you pay for room here on earth, Muhammad Ali. And life's most persistent, most urgent question is, what are you doing for others? Dr. King. Now, did I say? I may have got it wrong. The second one, Ali, was service to others is rent you pay for room here on earth. Oh, that's it. Kyle Ironhide is going to take us out. Looking for some other people to join us. But a great little show here to get the Sir Lamar Clark, Ring Magazine, Round 1 Magazine, He has his own line of clothing now, and the Daily News, one of the few African-American papers with African-American writers, and one of the few papers now in New York City still doing boxing. Doc Stanley, Sports and the Block, Talk Radio, the Trust in God Radio Network. I say from the bottom of my heart, God bless you all, and trust in God. And Larry Hardesty has this to say while we go on our way.
Hi, I'm Larry Hardesty from ESPN New York 98.7 FM. Did you enjoy the show? It was outstanding, but I expect that from the legendary Doc Stanley. Nothing less than the best. As he always says to me, and it's my favorite saying from him, live your life today as if you have to stand before God tomorrow. Words to live by. Ladies and gentlemen, have a great night, and we'll see you next time on Sports in Depth with the legendary Doc Stanley.
I don't know.